We're working through the book of 1 John, the letter of 1 John. We began last week looking at this letter. As I mentioned last week, the letter was written by the Apostle John, probably to the church at large, to a number of different churches, not just one particular church. And it was written most likely to counteract the teaching of a man called Cerinthus. A false teacher had arisen. Cerinthus, who had not lived during the time when Jesus lived, this is written a number of years after the death of Jesus, and Cerinthus was probably a young man, maybe in his late 20s, who became a leader in the church, early 30s, who started saying, well, did Jesus really live? And he started questioning, even if Jesus lived, whether he truly was God. And so he started saying, no, well, Jesus taught wonderful things, but he may not necessarily be God. Do you know, the danger of Cerinthus, friends, is the same danger that we're still facing to this particular day. And what is that danger? What is the danger the church continues to face over many, many centuries and still faces on an everyday basis, friends? The danger is this. While many people still talk about Jesus, they don't talk about Jesus that we find in the Bible. They don't talk about Jesus in the same way that Jesus spoke about himself, or his early disciples spoke about him. Friend, we're facing that to this day. There are many who claim to be followers of Jesus, but when you dig under the surface, friends, you'll discover they're not really interested in who Jesus is. They're interested in their own philosophies of life. Islam is a particular one that's similar to that. Friends, Islam is a belief that believes in Jesus. They believe that Jesus left this earth. They believe that he was a prophet. But friends, they don't believe that he was God. So what's the message? Well, I've entitled my series Back to Basics. Friends, we've got to understand what the Jesus of the Bible is all about. If we're going to make a difference in the world around us, we've got to understand what John is saying about Jesus and what Jesus said about himself. So we're going to read this morning from verse 5 to 10. I see my notes say verse 10 at the start there, but it should be verse 5. It says this: this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he was in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. But If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. I've titled my sermon today, friends, Does Your Walk Match Your Talk? Does your walk match your talk? Well, as I was preparing this message, friends, I discovered there's far too much in this passage for me to deal with it only in 1 week. So I'm going to spread it over 2 weeks. And this morning I want to focus on the second part of our statement. The second part, the title of the sermon says, Does your walk match your talk? I want to focus on our talk. What do we say when we want to talk about Jesus? There's three things I want to look at this morning. The first is this, friends. When you talk about Jesus, is it truly the Jesus of the Bible that you are talking about? Do you hear that? When you talk about Jesus, is it truly the Jesus of the Bible you are talking about? How do we know we are, when we talk, are talking about the Jesus of the Bible? The first thing, friends, we need to ask is, what is the source of our material? What is the source of our talk? Where do we get our message from? John very clearly says in verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him. Do you see that? This is the message we have heard from him. Friend, just because somebody quotes from the Bible doesn't mean that they believe in the Bible. Just because somebody quotes from the Bible does not mean that they are doing so accurately. There is a lot of false teaching, friends, which take verses out of context and make them say things they were never intended to say and build a whole theology on a verse taken totally out of context. Friends, we've got to make sure that when we quote the Bible, we quote it accurately. And friends, just because somebody quotes the Bible doesn't mean they are genuine. In the early church, when the apostles were doing miracles, there was a man called Simon the sorcerer. You'll remember the story in the book of Acts. Simon the sorcerer saw what the apostles were doing. And so he said to the apostles, give me what you have got. I'll even pay you for it so that I may also do what you are doing. Friends, that's the sad reality of the world we are living in, friends. There are many that quote the Bible. There are many that use the Bible. There are many that speak from the Bible, friends, but their motives and their attitudes are not right. Where is their message coming from? You need to make sure that their message is coming from God. So, friends, the question is, when you talk about Jesus, is your message about Jesus based on his teaching? Not what you think that day. Not what, you know, kind of you dreamt about last night. Not what you've heard about from somebody on the internet. The danger, friends, we're living in today is that we have the thing called artificial intelligence. And it's influencing our world more and more. And computer-generated artificial intelligence is a very powerful computer program that takes bits and pieces from all over the world, from messages that it hears as stored in its memory, and it puts together a message and says, this is now what Jesus has to say. We've got to be so careful, friends. We've got to be like John, so that when we speak, we can say, the message of Jesus is what we have heard from him. What does what we have heard mean, friends? Friends, that little phrase, yeah, points to the ultimate source of truth. Not the immediate source of the message. The writers, friends, of the Bible were very careful that when they wrote the scripture down, they accredited the message that they were going to speak to God as being the source of their message. As you read the Old Testament, you often come across this phrase, thus saith the Lord, or this is what the Lord says, or this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Friend, can we, when we speak, confidently say, this is what the Lord says? The Apostle Peter, when he writes, says exactly the same thing, friends. Listen to what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 to 12. He says, concerning this salvation, our belief about Jesus, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come them searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. When they spoke of the things that had been told, have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Friend, where does your message come from? What's the source of your talk? Make sure, friends, that when you want to speak about the Bible, that you're actually speaking about the Bible. The classic illustration that's often used is about the young man who wanted to preach one day. And so he said, Lord, you've got to show me what you preach on. So he closed his Bible and he said, Lord, I'm just going to open the Bible and then I'm going to point at a verse and you must tell me what it is. And so he went like that and he pointed. And the passage says, and Judas hung himself. And he thought, no, Lord, that can't be the message. So he closed his Bible again, and he opened it again, and he pointed again. And the verse said, go and do likewise. Friends, we've got to be careful when we take verses out of context. Make sure that your source of your message is the Bible. Secondly, when you talk, does your message bring clarity or confusion? Does your message make things clearer or do they confuse things for people. John's very clear. This is the message we have heard. God is light. In him there is no darkness. Friend, there's confusion in darkness. The phrase God is light, friends, doesn't refer to the fact that God is a light or God is a created light. Friends, the message is very clear. God is absolute light. There is nothing in him that is impure and false in any sort of way. You see, Cerinthus, friends, lost the plot here. Because while he believed in Jesus, he thought that Jesus, friends, was really just a figment of his imagination. And Jesus was just a good moral teacher. And Jesus, friends, was not the God of all creation. Friends, John is very clear. Is our message bringing light? Does our message bring truth? Does our message help people understand more about God? Listen to what John wrote in his gospel. In John chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, he says, "There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." Who is that light? He is the true light who gives light to every man coming into the world. Friend, does your message cause confusion or does it bring light? John writes further on where Jesus, as I mentioned earlier on, friends, Jesus himself said these things. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, it said, Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Friend, does your message create confusion or does it bring clarity? Does what you say about Jesus make Jesus easier understood? You know, we're living in a day where every second Christian leader is calling himself a prophet or a prophetess. I'm a prophetess. Friend, we don't need prophetesses. We don't need prophets. Because prophets are people who predict the future. We don't need to predict the future, friends. We know what the future is. The Bible tells us what it is. You don't need somebody like that. I call Christian prophets nothing more than Christian horoscopes. How many horoscopes are true? Can you believe a horoscope? You can't, can you? Because a horoscope is just a figment of somebody's imagination. And a prophetess, sadly, friends, when they say, "God has spoken to me," friends, if God has not spoken from his word, God has not spoken. What they say must attest to the truth of the word of God. Let's be very careful, friends, that we make sure that everything we say about Jesus can be found in the Bible. Because when you start adding to the Bible, you'll never stop. That's why we've got a Catholic Church. That's why we've got a Mormon Church. That's why we've got Islam. Because all of those organizations did not believe the Bible was sufficient for truth. They felt they needed to add to the truth of the Bible. And in fact, all they have done is caused confusion. Number three, not only what is the source of your talk, not only does your talk bring clarity or confusion, number three, does your talking focus on what you can achieve or on what you have received? Heard a brilliant sermon during the holiday time. Been listening to a series of sermons by a man called Tim Keller. Tim Keller had an incredibly profound thing to say. I'll end off with that same thing. But the point he was making, friends, is that when Christianity focuses on what we achieve instead of what we receive, the focus is wrong. I'm going to show you that. Listen to what John says. If we claim we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not walk in the truth. But if we walk in the truth as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Friends, false teaching, false Christian teaching, focuses on what you can get out of Christianity or what you can achieve because you have become a Christian. Now, I know I'm stepping on kind of dangerous ground here, but these are the sort of sermons you'll hear when people are focusing on what you can achieve. These are the message. God will make you rich if you believe in him. No, friend, that's not true. That's not truth. God chooses who will be rich and who won't be rich. It's got nothing to do with our belief. I've been believing for 64 years. Now you know how old I am. I've been believing for 64 years that tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have 2 million rand in my bank accounts. I'm still waiting. It's not there, friend. Do I believe in God? You bet you have. You bet you I do. I've served him with every inch of power I've had all my life. Does it make God my debtor? Not at all, friends. Here's another sermon. You'll hear them preached on television. If you sow $10 into our ministry, God will give you 10 blessings. But if you sow $100, God will give you $100. But if you sow $50,000, God, friends, will bless you beyond your understanding. It's a lie, friends. It's a money-making racket. Because what it's trying to do is trying to make God your debtor. God is no man's debtor, friends. You can't force God to give you something because, friends, we owe God everything we have. I don't own a single thing on earth. God has just lent it to me so that I may live here. Doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God, friends. The Bible says the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Oh, they may belong to some farmer out there, but they belong to him, friends. God is the owner of all the resources. We're not. Or you've heard messages to say, if you believe strong enough, you can manifest this in your life. No, friend, you can't. You can't manifest anything in your life. Only God can change that. Only God can change you, friends. So what must we be focusing on? You see, false teaching wants to bind you into comparisons. Why is this so dangerous? It's dangerous because if I have achieved my salvation, I can think I'm better than somebody else. That's the very opposite to Christianity, isn't it? The very nature of sin is pride. And when we say, I have worked for my salvation, like the Jehovah's Witnesses do, I have gone to prayers 5 times a day. I have visited Mecca. I have read the Quran and memorized the Quran like the Muslims do, friends. They say, I'm a more religious person than you are. I am better than you are. Because, friends, when you focus on what you achieve rather than what you receive, the focus is wrong. Why can we worship in a church like this with people who kind of live on the streets and those who live in the fanciest houses of town? Why can a church like this exist where you have people from every economic scale in society? Simply for this, friends, we're here not because of our achievements. We're here because we have received the forgiveness of God himself. The true message, friends, the true message that we need to be preaching is what we have received. That's what the Apostle Paul boasted about. The Apostle Paul said, I can boast about my inheritance. I can boast about my achievements. I can boast about the tribe that I belong to, friends. But in the end, he said, all of those things are rubbish because the only thing I can boast in is in Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. So where's our sense of belonging? John writes, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I'm going to focus on this in another sermon. But you see, when our being together doesn't belong on how good a Christian we are. You don't have to be a Christian that's reached perfection. You can be a new Christian, friends, and you can meet together with a Christian that's walked all of his life. Because the basis, friends, of our Christianity is not on what we achieve, but on what Jesus has done for us. So I write here, the only genuine basis for fellowship is when our salvation is based on what we have received, not on what we have achieved. But I want to end with this, friends. Our talk must always be on what we have received. John says this, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And then makes this statement, And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. See, John realized, just like the Apostle Paul, just like the other writers of Scripture, realized, friend, that there was nothing they could do to get into heaven except receive what Christ had done for them. Corinthians was telling them, you've got to live a good life. You've got to live a moral life. You've got to be a good person. You've got to follow these rules and these regulations. You've got to do this and do that. But John says, the only reason we belong to Jesus is because of what Jesus has done for us. What has the blood of Jesus done, friends? The blood of Jesus, friends, fully satisfies all the requirements that God has. The blood of Jesus, friends, fully paid the penalty of sin. The blood of Jesus, friends, purchased the redemption of all men. The blood of Jesus washes us clean from our sins. The blood of Jesus removes the curse of sins. The blood of Jesus fully sets us free from the condemnation of sin. The blood of Jesus fully opens the door for us to have eternal life. The blood of Jesus fully protects us from the attacks of the evil one. Come on, Baptists, we need an amen. Our basis of being together doesn't depend on who we are. I'm a sinner. I fail regularly. I make mistakes day in and day out. I try my best, but I fail. But I know when I talk about my Jesus, I tell people, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. There are too many false preachers today, friends, who are wanting people to follow them. They are the center of their ministry, not Jesus. You can see it even in what they call their ministry, because their ministry has got their name first. Sadly, it's their ministry. It's not Jesus's. Friend, when you talk about Jesus, is it truly the Jesus of the Bible that you're talking about? What's your talk like, friends? Does your talk find its source in the Bible? Does your talking about Jesus bring clarity or confusion? When you talk about Jesus, friends, do you focus on what you've achieved or on what you have received? May our message be, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one who gives us forgiveness. Jesus makes it possible for us to fellowship with one another. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. And now the question, does your walk match your talk? We're going to look at that next week. Let's pray together. Lord, may our talk point to you. May our talk find its source in you. May our talk, Lord, be all about you and nothing about me. May, Lord, everything we do give you the glory in every single way. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Let's close our service with a song as we focus on what Christ has done for us. Thank you.